Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's one from Glenn Turpening.
Yes, I do farmers markets. We do a lot of greeting card sales and chocolate sales at the Yellow Green Market in Hollywood and a lot of different farmers markets on the weekends all the way down to the Key West. At this particular market was going to be up at Mount Dora, so I was leaving early on a Saturday morning, very early, around 5 o'clock, 4:30, and up on the turnpike heading north of Fort Pierce. Again, it was a rainy morning, very, very dark, and the turnpike up there has no lights whatsoever up in the out in the country, and it's only two lanes wide with a guardrail one side and concrete wall on the other. There was no markers, no nothing. It was just pitch black, and I was rolling along, and I noticed something funny up ahead of me. It just didn't look right, and so I slowed down, and I was able to kind of slow down enough to realize right out my window, my driver's window, was a car upside down in the passing lane. And so, oh, my God, I thought that was very dangerous. And so I decided that I should help out somehow. And I drove ahead about 300 feet, parked alongside the road on the right where the berm was, and decided I'm going to try to help out and kind of warn some of these people, because I did not see this car until I was right up on it. It's absolutely pitch black. And so I decided I was going to at least use my flashlight up on my cell phone, which I just had downloaded a couple days before that. And I got my flashlight out of the car. And then I realized that, you know, I think I better get on the safe side of this guardrail, because these cars have no room for error whatsoever in trying to avoid this upside-down vehicle. And so I did that. I jumped over the guardrail, pretty substantial double metal guardrail. And just as I did that, two cars were drastically trying to avoid this accident, sliding and slipping, and just exactly where I was 5 seconds ago, those cars were. And barely missing my car along the berm. And I thought, oh, my God, this is something. And then so I'm on the safe side of the guardrail now, thinking that, okay, now I'm going to try to get on the far side of the accident so I can warn some people with this little flashlight. And I walked ahead about 10 feet, and then there was a semi-truck right in front of me sliding. You could hear the tires in the metal of the trailer bouncing. Instantaneously, I backed up about 10 feet into the woods. The truck hit the guardrail, put about 3-foot dent in the guardrail, and somehow, miraculously, was able to bounce right off of it and keep on going down the road. I mean, if that guardrail wasn't there, I absolutely wouldn't be here today, because that truck is coming right at me. I mean, sideways. I'm talking about a jackknifed truck with the cab of the truck heading right towards me, and the only thing that stopped it was the guardrail. And, of course, this, when I was telling my son later on about this part of the episode, he said, "Dad, it sounded like a movie." And I said, "Yes, it felt like a movie. It was so surreal." And so anyway, I realized that the situation still is there. This car, nobody can see this car. And so then I decided to kind of walk and run fast up to the, other side of the accident, waving my light back and forth like a maniac. And I did that, went up probably about 300-400 yards. And all the while, there's no police car, there's no nothing. I'm the only warning there is the silly little light on my flashlight. But it was effective. I could hear some of the cars starting to slow down, you know, from the revolutions of their tires. You know, you could tell they were slowing down because of this light. I was up there probably 10, 15 minutes before the cops even came. And finally, I see some ambulances up, way up the way, trying to figure out, where is this accident, you know? Because, you know, there was no markers, no nothing. It was just pitch black. I just knew I was about 2 miles north of whatever road it was that I had stopped and got gas, you know? And that's where I said it. That's where I gave them the directions, you know, 2 miles north of that road, which I can't remember what it was anymore. And I think they finally saw my light. And then by that time, a state patrol came from the north, and he finally got some lights on the situation. And so after the emergency was over and all the cars were slowing down nicely, I went back and talked to the lady who was in the car. I was sitting on the guardrail. She was all right. It was upside down the car, but she got out, and she was fine. Talked to the police, and then I said, okay, I'm going to head out of here. So I was walking towards my car again, and I saw a truck driver heading this way with a truck that stopped. I said, man, thanks for avoiding this accident. I see you really plowed into this guardrail. And he says, no, I didn't hit any guardrail. Says the truck driver said, I was in the accident, and the car that was upside down slid underneath my tires to hit the wall, and I barely missed crushing this car. I spun it around, actually. And so that was so amazingly exciting, and I walked by where that dent was, and it is still there, a big old 3-foot dent in the guardrail. And so then I decided to head on out and go up to the next rest station, you know, the rest stop, and just write a letter on my Facebook saying that the good Lord saved my life this morning. But the amount of the swerving cars that you could hear, the tires screeching and sliding, and the truck with that bouncing noise heading right towards me, you know, very scary.
Glenn Turpinning with a story about lucky being alive.
There are so many facets to this story. He could have just kept on going. He didn't have to stop in the first place to warn passersby that there was this potential for harm. I mean, it makes me think of all of these stories about heroes who jump in the water to save a drowning person and drown themselves. I mean, if he had been harmed in trying to do a good deed, how doubly sad that would have been.
I haven't been in many accidents, but maybe a fender bender here and there. But even a fender bender, the anxiety is there. And he did a good job of explaining that the tension that was on the highway that night.
Yes, but he did not imply that he was particularly shaken up afterward. But he had quite a while to go to get to Mount Dora. And I just wonder how I would have felt. You've got to put yourself in any story, but particularly in a story like this, you put yourself in the storyteller's shoes and you say, how would I have reacted? First of all, would I have stopped at all? But secondly, how shaken up might I have been after witnessing this close a call?
He did say it was surreal.
Not only did he stop to let the cops know what was going on, but he actually waited until they got there and took care of the situation.
Helping with his little iPhone light.
I love the technology point in this, yes. Not only could he not have gotten through to anybody without this cell phone, but then what's the first thing you do? You get on Facebook and tell everybody. First of all, nobody's wondering if you're all right. It's not like, oh, there was a hurricane, so I got to call people and tell them I'm all right. Nobody knew exactly when, I shouldn't say that. His family presumably knew he was on that road at 5 a.m., but he could have called them when it got lighter, right, when it got later. But he had to get on Facebook right away and say, the good Lord saved my life and I'm fine. And this is about where we are today, how we communicate. We need to get this message out to the world. And he got it out on Facebook.
It was so scary listening to him. He happened to jump over the guardrail just when it was hit by this tractor. He could have been very easily killed.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things we find out about Glenn. We find out that he was, first of all, very lucky. We find out that he was a humanitarian. He's a person who really cares about other people and about saving lives. And we find out that he was a fast thinker. And we also, of course, most important to me, he's a great storyteller. I mean, this story really had me on the edge of my seat.
And an entrepreneur.
As well.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneile, that's C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information at wlrn.org. Also check out our archive stories. Click on Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.